They say everyone has a book inside them, and often that's where it should stay. I really can't help but be aghast that the author wants you to pay. But we're just a pair of absolute bookends, you don't want to be like us. So if you want to read, pick some quality literature rather than this dross.
Hello, welcome to Two Absolute Bookends, where we read books so bad you should burn them before reading. This is episode 38, and here with me, but not getting lunch on the bridge, is Louis.
Hello.
This time, we're reading chapter 26 of The Way the Stars Fall Rebirth by Lewis Stockton. Please support the author, buy his other works, and give him a good time. So, see, this is another chapter where not a whole lot really happens, does it, Louis?
Yeah, you can sort of feel the book is now entering that last stage. I mean, both narratively and sort of in terms of effort spent on the chapters.
Yeah, it's like, I do find it funny how after we praised the chapter, two ago, chapter 24, that the next two chapters have been so fucking atrociously bad.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of, like, typos and just complete grammar and sentence fails in this one are just amazing, even by this book's standards.
I think this chapter could be summarised quite nicely as unnecessary maths. Like, there's just so much, like, discussion about what percentage and time and amount of... We don't care.
Logistics, the musical.
Yeah.
It's... Yeah. I mean, that is basically... You've basically given the chapter summary. It's just like... It's a lot of Jack talking to Hollister about... No, like, talking to the engineer about the state the ship's in and how long it can last, talking to Hollister about their food and what they're going to do next to get home, and then kind of applying it, then being like, okay, we're going to go to... They go to the first wormhole, send a probe through it and go, oh, this wormhole should be good for us. Yay. And that's the chapter. And despite that, it's longer than the last two fucking chapters anyway. But it's still just nothing. Nothing.
Yeah. So I don't know if you want to give a quick rundown of where we left off.
Well, like, basically, like, where we were for the Tranquility was there'd been that big three-way fight between the Rakari, the Imperials, and, you know, the Tranquility, Jack's ship, where at the end Jack flew back, and after getting pummeled by the Rakari, Jack flew back to save Tiberius's fleet and blasted part of the Rakari with the Tranquility, and they both made good their escape and parted ways. Then we had a chapter talking to Tiberius as he went back to see the Imperator and basically got sent on the same quest again in a chapter that we liked.
Yeah.
Then we went back to the Rakari to find out the Rakari's batshit insane plan. That was not a good chapter. That was basically just a lot of talking about milking Jack and their plans to grow a fleet and jump back into this universe to enable said milking. And yeah, and now we're back to where Jack is, where they've limped off to after coming back through the wormhole. And so, like, and just quickly saying, why the fuck didn't the Rakari just follow them through the wormhole? Why are they doing this big thing? Listen to the way that both Tiberius and Jack talk about their ships, like in that old chapter and Jack in this one. Why did they wait? Like, how fucked up did the Tranquility manage to get their fleet that they had to spend 4 years before going through? It's crazy, like, Jack's talking like the ship's gonna fucking fall apart in this chapter.
Yeah, and that they're running out of ammo and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I don't even know/care what's happening anymore in this universe, or what the other universes, or... It's just such a clusterfuck of dimensions and timelines, and, yeah.
Yeah, it's not...
And, like, not clear motives, and yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, we're like the author seems to be losing direction and will, and he's taking us right along with him, us right along with him there, even if he's not managed to take us with him anywhere else. It's just, this is low energy now.
Yeah.
The book is winding down, and we already wish it had finished like two chapters ago.
So this chapter is titled Alone, Wounded, Lost, which I suppose is a reference to, well, their situation on the Tranquility.
Yeah, gotta give it to them. That is one of their titles that actually works, again, for a change. I mean, it's not fucking Shakespeare, but at least it makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, shouldn't it have an "and" if you're being pedantic?
I guess, but it's fine. It's fine for a title. Come on. Look at the book we're talking about here. It's fine.
Yeah, at the start, this bit caught me off guard a bit, where it says, it starts with a quote, "She won't hold up much more, sir," the deck chief responded to Jack's question. "How long will she hold? I don't know. I don't know if that's normal, like, if that's structured normally for a book, but it caught me off guard of, like..."
No, I'd say it really isn't.
Because it's basically, well, for a start, in my book, it uses two, so there's two quotes in that sentence. The first one's fine, the second one, like, the first quote marks a double, and the end one is single. So that's one thing. But then also,
mine doesn't have that problem.
It reads, you know, you read the first quote, "She won't hold up much more, sir," and then the deck chief responded to Jack's question, and then, "How long will she hold?" As if that's the, you know, the next part of the dialogue.
That's an incredibly bizarre way to, like, frame that sentence, and especially to open it. And it's so redundant, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you don't need to know that was the question being asked, because that question doesn't... Adding the question doesn't tell you anything.
Yeah, it's like someone saying, "My name is Louis." He responds to the question, "What is your name?"
Yeah, like the answer contains all the information you need. Like,
yeah.
Like, especially jumping in at the start of a chapter this way, you just don't need it. You know, just, "She won't hold up to much more, sir," the deck chief responded to Jack's question. That's fine. That tells you everything you need to know.
But here we are.
Yep, here we are.
But Jack doesn't agree with that assessment. He gives his uneducated sort of input in that, yeah, she just needs patching up. This guy's probably like, brilliant.
Yeah, I love it. I love it when my manager tells me how to do the job I do every fucking day.
Yeah. "How long are we going to hold out?" "Not much longer." "Really? I think we can hold out." "Oh, okay then."
"Oh, yeah, I'll just make the impossible happen. That's great. Thanks, Captain."
Yeah, why did you fucking ask?
Yeah, why ask for an expert opinion if you're going to fucking ignore it? Good job, Captain.
Well, you say expert opinion. Like, it says that... I don't know, there's a bit later on where it says that... I don't actually know what it was saying. People came from...
Oh, yeah, it was basically saying that everyone on the ship is ex-everything... Because it used to be, because, you know, obviously it was a transport ship.
Oh, they all had to change roles, yeah.
Yeah, because originally this was a transport ship, which apparently is what everyone does when they retire in this universe. They just move on to a transport ship, because the implication was that they're all, like, reprising the jobs that they did before they joined the transport ship.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, these are ex-Marines. Oh, these are ex-scientists. I was like, I can kind of see the ex-Marine, but why would an ex-scientist just join a transport ship?
We get a bit of an insight into Jack's origins. I don't know if this matches up with the sort of canon where he concentrated his field on flying in command when he was learning at the Trade Fleet Academy. Like, is that how he started? I can't remember.
Ooh, it's hard to say. I mean, I know that he ran away from his dad's to join the trade fleet. Yeah, Jack ran off to join the trade fleet. So why in joining the trade fleet? I mean, it does say that this was at the Trade Fleet Academy, so that's fine. I wonder I mean, I guess trade ships need to be flown and commanded. Yeah, whatever. I can't be bothered to reread, like, the first five chapters just to contradict him here, so let's let him have it. And so he's chatting to this engineer about how the ship's coming apart, basically. And I'm just wondering, why is the ship so fucked up when they've been, like, wrecking everything so far?
Yeah, how many are there in their fleet? Or is it just that ship?
It's just the Tranquility.
Like, how shit are the Rikari? They had, like, thousands of ships, didn't they?
Yeah, hundreds at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't understand how that many ships surrounding one ship couldn't destroy it. Logistically.
Like, again, it's so inconsistent. Everything is as powerful as it needs to be, I remember, at the start of that chapter back then, the Rikari were, pounding on Jack's ship and he couldn't do anything about it. But then at the end of the chapter, the Tranquility just comes back and destroys them all.
Yeah.
And there was no, mention of the Tranquility being fucked up at the time. You know, they were our kinetic barriers are a bit damaged kind of thing. But, you know, that's what they're there for. There was no indication that the ship had been damaged in any serious way. But now we've got this big conversation here about, the ship's on its last legs, its spine's broken, whatever that fucking means.
Yeah, it's an engineering term. You wouldn't know what it means.
Yeah, yeah. So, I didn't do 4 years of engineering at the Trade Fleet Academy, so I couldn't possibly comprehend what they're talking about.
I like how it sort of also dropped the nautical theme metaphors that were so common earlier on. It's sort of seems to have forgotten about that. Now it's suddenly
probably for the best.
Yeah.
Probably for the best they stopped that. Please.
Yeah. I mean, it's just odd that it's so OP, but here we are.
Yeah. And again, he says after this thing, he's like, don't worry, Chief, we'll get her home before her back breaks, and then we'll get her fixed and back up to spec. And then he's like, he knew this was a lie. And he says, even if they did get back, the spine was too broken and the Tranquility would end up being decommissioned and blown up. It's like, why? Everyone in this universe is like, the Tranquility is the best ship that's ever existed. It's fucking wrecking everything. So he's saying that it's not worth repairing if he gets home. How can it be that broken?
Yeah.
And how is this the first that we've fucking heard about it if it's in this bad a state? It seemed like this was something that he decided to chuck in at the end to ramp up the stakes or the tension, but which has no basis anywhere earlier on in the story.
Also, I don't know if this is some quick maths that you can do, but it says, and I also don't know how serious it's being with this claim, but it says that the ship is just about as old as all of them combined, so all of the people on the ship. So I don't know if you can do some quick maths there based on your estimations of how many people there are on the crew. What is that number again?
It's 80 something if I recall. Don't have it to hand off the top of my head, but
so if we were to say the average age of people on the ship would be 30?
Looks like probably older, but that's a good estimate, I would say. Let's be fair. So let's round down. Let's say 80 times 30.
Yeah.
So that's 2,400 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite an old ship.
How old is it? Were we ever told?
We were given an idea. We were mentioned. I'm trying to remember how specific it was. Definitely did say somewhere. Says the ship was old, very old.
Pretty specific.
Yeah. It had survived the Gallant Wars, the Republic Civil War, and the Republic Reclamation. Now is one of the oldest transports. That isn't at all specific. It's where I started making a timeline somewhere. I wonder if I found any quotes.
It also makes it even more ridiculous that they would sent to the scrap heap after like 2,000 years.
Wouldn't you? Garbage.
Like, surely over those 2,000, I guess it has only been a transport ship.
Oh, damn! I wish I'd like made notes of this. Apparently, I'd worked out that the Tranquility was made approximately 225 years beforehand.
Mm.
Oh, of course, yeah. I found it. So it says that the old leather chair had been on the ship for as long as it had been built, which was now over 200 galactic standard cycles.
I forgot about our good friend, the old leather chair.
The old leather chair. So, yeah, that's a little bit off.
I know if it goes to the scrap heap, what I'm going to grab.
Exactly. Gonna rip that bad boy out of there, take it home and live life high. But yeah, so Jack's estimate's a bit off. The ship's about 200 years old, and as opposed to 2,400, so...
Yeah, or they've got significantly fewer crew than we're imagining.
I mean, if anything, they should have more crew than I've...
Or their crew are much, much younger than we're imagining.
They're being crewed by eight-year-olds. That'd explain a lot.
They went through the wormhole on the day of, like, bring your child to work day. Although that wouldn't really make a difference, because presumably everyone who already works on it is also there. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maths. But yeah. Either way, there's an inconsistency in this book, if you can believe it. The ship is either 200
what?
Years old or 2,000 years old.
Yeah.
200 sounds more realistic.
It does somewhat. I mean...
Imagine if right now there was a ship that was built back in, like, that Jesus... What if Noah's Ark was still around? Imagine that. And imagine if it... Yeah.
I mean, I'm trying to think. I mean, there's some really old boats, but they're like total wrecks that we've reclaimed from bogs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Probably found, like, a couple of, like... preserved timbers from triremes, but no whole ones.
This is an excellent topic for our history podcast.
Yep, this section's going to need a lot of editing, but it was worth it.
Yep, so the crew are still trying to search for a wormhole. That seems to be the main focus of this chapter, and I guess of the rest of the book, is them trying to get home.
Yeah, that seems to be Jack. Like their main focus, it's like Jack seems to have totally given up on Tona now, which is good. He should have done that a long time ago, long before going into the wormhole after her.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know why they're not expecting these other wormholes to chuck them out at random points in time after the last wormhole they went through did that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how they've come to the conclusion that, you know, all they need to do is just go through a wormhole to get home. But apparently we find out later on that they're scanning the wormholes basically, and they want to find the one that matches the one that took them originally, because that's how it works.
Is that how it works?
I think so.
I mean, but like the place they came through, like the wormhole wasn't there anymore. So they're hoping to find the same wormhole but somewhere else in space.
Or maybe it's like the same type of wormhole.
Yeah, that would make more sense.
And I don't know why I'm trying to defend it, but...
It's like, but how can they tell? It's not like they scanned the wormhole they went through to chase Tona and they didn't expect to end up, like, I forget, it was like 1,000 or 50,000 years in the past. It was more than 1,000, but I remember there was two dates that we've been given about how far back it is. Yeah.
Yeah, and Jack asks... What alien-infested wormhole will we be traversing this time? He asked it sarcastically, but even Hollister did not seem to be in the mood for sarcasm today.
Even Hollister. Apparently he loves sarcasm.
Famous sarcastic.
Like, yeah, despite, according to Jack, him famously having no sense of humour.
Yeah.
He thought he'd respond well to sarcasm. Not today.
Hollister's all about that business.
Yeah, or business on the bridge. No lunch.
So they've apparently picked up two wormholes, and they're going to do some shit like go to one and then drop a beacon, whatever that means.
So, yeah, like, they're clearly shooting some kind of probe through the wormhole, but I know it's quite impressive that the wormhole can send anything back. Like, is it going actually through the wormhole, or is it just, like, scanning it? And they can somehow tell from scanning the wormhole that it'll take them home.
Who knows?
It doesn't make any sense either way, basically.
But yeah, Hollis is obviously stressed, with his hand running through his greying hair.
Oh no, Jack's bullshit's made him go grey. Yeah, apparently the entire crew's been working 24/7 to get the Tranquility back to work order. Which again, considering that like nearly two-thirds of the crew is dead, about makes sense considering that they're meant to be working on like 8-hour shifts. So that does add up, actually.
Yeah, so how do you reckon that's worked? Do you reckon if they've lost two-thirds of the ships and they're in like third split shifts?
It does make sense that they're working 24/7 to get things going. It does add up.
Nice.
It was all planned. Lewis did mean for such a to have such ridiculous crew numbers all along. Yeah, like, and when Jack's surveying the repairs, he's like, the kinetic barriers could charge up to 78% and hold there for a few hours, but under stress it would hold steady at 52. It's like, what? Why give us that information? That's so bizarrely specific. Like,
I think we enter.
Why tell us that it can go up to 78, but then be like, but not really, 52 probably. I mean, why tell us that at all?
Yeah,
But then why tell us that twice and in different ways?
And it's just like, why do we need to know this? This is the part where it's like unnecessary maths. This whole paragraph here where it's talking about how much ammo they've got left and how much they can have and how much they've accounted for. And it's like, we don't care.
Yeah, it's so unimportant. Like, you need to, for the narrative purposes, making it clear, you know, saying that they're low on ammo does have a purpose for ramping up the tension, theoretically. Not in this book, but theoretically that would be why you'd do it. You don't need a page of maths explaining how we get to that. You need, like, some underling to come up to Jack and be like, the ammo reserves are low, we're running, you know, we're running at, like, your one bit of maths is to be like, we've only got 20% of our ammo left. And that's it. That's all you need to get that whole point across in the story. You don't need a paragraph of like, well, the maths, you know, we should have been down here, but we're actually up here. And if we make more, then we could maybe be here. But if we use too much, then we'll be down here.
Yeah.
It's just gratuitous logistics.
But then they're saying that thanks to the Vortman's mining operations, which, as we know, were very successful,
unleashed an alien terror on the multiverse.
Yeah.
Not just the fucking universe.
But apart from that, they managed to make a lot of ammo, apparently, so.
Yeah, yeah, and still ashamed that the miner died. Rip Miner McGee, but
I miss those times.
Yeah, simpler times.
That rope.
Futuristic mining rope.
Yeah, and you said that Jack's pretty much forgotten about Tona, but not entirely, as without Tona...
He's forgotten about rescuing her.
Yeah.
Of course she plays on his mind constantly.
Yeah, without Tona to help him relax, he became too stressed.
But everyone's stressed.
Yeah. Actual quote from book. Everyone did stress.
Such stress. Where's it? He says, they have to get the ship up to a standard enough to face off the Imperials when they finally returned. Ignoring how bad that sentence is. But when are they expecting to fight the Imperials? Their plan is just to go through this wormhole. Like, yeah, readiness is fine, but it makes it sound like he's... I don't know.
It's almost like the author knows he's going to write a chapter in the future about when the Imperials return. So Jack knows it as well.
I mean, like, to be fair, I mean, it's that, like, they should be ready for that. I think that one's kind of on me for reading it a bit weird, where it's just like...
I was just thinking, how hard is it to run away from someone in space?
In the infinity of space.
Especially when you're now in a different dimension to that. Are they just, like, if I remember correctly, are they on the other side of a wormhole, or are they both in the same
sort Tiberius of... and Jack are both in the same dimension. Okay. The one that Jack originally jumped through to, you know. So they are still in the Imperial dimension.
I don't know. Maybe they've space travel has advanced so much that they can track pretty well.
I mean, they can. Remember in Tiberius's chapter when he was like, "We followed their wake across the universe."
Mm.
Don't know how. Don't know what that means. But
didn't they also have like a spy with like a tracker on it, or was that something else?
They got a tracker on Tona when she was on Deep Space Trade Voyage Station 58.
The best Deep Space Trade Voyage Station.
The original Taurus.
Jesus, that seems like so long ago now.
Well, it was so long ago.
That's the first chapter, I think.
Yep. The one where he copied the entire Wikipedia article on those type of Taurus space stations. Good times.
So yeah, Jack and Hollister are basically planning what their next move is going to be. And Jack's amazing plan is that we head for this one, and then if it doesn't work, we go straight for that one. And if that doesn't work, then I guess we will find a planet or station and try to get them to trade some supplies. Hollister doesn't like that. He shakes his head. And puts down his
cup of recaf.
What's recaf?
I don't know.
Do you think it's meant to be decaf?
The thing is, this is the kind of sci-fi story where he just has like made up bullshit sci-fi sounding things.
That's quite similar to...
Yeah. So it's impossible to tell whether this is just meant to be some kind of weird space coffee called recaf, or if it's a typo. We'll never know.
Especially with this book. Yes, Hollister doesn't like that plan at all. As we know, he's putting down his... He doesn't like it so much that he puts down his cup of recaf. And yeah, he says basically that no one's going to trade with them.
It seems like... I guess you could argue that they don't know this, but considering the fact that, like... What was that, like a quarter of the Imperial ships are like in rebellion against the Imperium right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not like it's that loyal and cohesive an empire.
Also, they're like supposed to be this fucking juggernaut of a ship that can destroy entire fleets. Why would people, they could just, I don't know.
Yeah, like, and
intimidate people.
Yeah, like the only thing that they're basing this on is, like, remember when Tiberius ordered that ship to get in between, like, a Rakari artillery blast and his flagship?
Mm-hmm.
Way back, and Jack's like, the destruction of the Eventide Gleam during the escape from the Rakari system shows the Imperials were the kind of people who would rather go to their deaths in honour than be pushed around. That was literally the guy on the Eventide Gleam being pushed around by Tiberius, though. Tiberius being like, get in the way. Like, follow orders, you son of a bitch. It's like, I wouldn't say that's dying honourably. It's like, that's like Nazi tier just following orders to like a retarded degree.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really... You know, committing suicide on command isn't my definition of honour, basically. I guess it could be part of it, but if you're weird, but yeah, like, that's quite an extrapolation, though, because this military ship that was being sent to hunt us down sacrificed itself. We won't be able to make this farming planet in Buckfoot Nowhere trade supplies with us. I'm just saying, that's a bit of a leap of logic in my mind. Maybe that's just me. So yeah, they decide that they have to get the marine teams on this, so that they can steal food, I guess.
Yeah, apparently, like, the supplies they're talking about here aren't the sort of ammunitions and stuff that were previously talked about, but it's more about just food.
Yeah, apparently they have a food problem, like, I know, I guess I was thinking too Star Trek, but I was just kind of assuming that they would have had, like, food. Maybe not replicators, but, like, things to, like, fabricate food, basically. Like,
yeah, because it makes you think about how have they coped for this long?
I mean, I guess they must have to have a pretty hefty supply for, like, space voyages.
Won't that Quan Pi go off?
That's just Quan Pi keep. That's one of the many beauties of Quan Pi, Louis, that it'll outlast you. You know, what's going to be left in the nuclear apocalypse are lucky giant cockroaches eating Quan Pi. That's my dream. But, yeah, it's like... But, again, another thing to consider is that they've only got a quarter of their people on the ship. I mean, a third of their people alive. So they should have plenty of rations? I mean, maybe that's why the rations have lasted so long, because so many of them have died, but they should have a lot of food.
You say that, but they didn't plan for this.
I mean, it's true.
It's also, like...
But surely they would have stocked up when they were at the insurrectionist base, which I know was because of the mining a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you would have thought they would have been starting from, like, max capacity pretty much again then.
Meh.
I don't know. Who knows?
Maybe they just
we just have to accept it, don't we? I mean, it's... Yeah, I mean, this is logistics the chapter. This is the first time any of these matters of logistics have mattered to the story at all. But now we're told about them, and they matter, and it's bad.
But yeah, Hollister's basically made a year-long plan for how much they're going to need if they're going to survive for a year.
Mm.
And this impresses Jack, the fact that he's sort of worked out such a long-haul plan. But I don't know, what is Jack's job as the captain? It seems like he does nothing. Shouldn't he be worrying about this kind of stuff? I don't know.
Nah.
Maybe he's just a good delegator.
That's kind of the captain's job on something like this, to delegate stuff like this. I mean, he's the one deciding where the ship goes and, like, putting his seal of approval on people's stuff. It's like he's just, you know, I'd say that crunching the numbers on dealing on a plan like this is, like, someone else's job. He needs to be there and be like, yes, that sounds reasonable or doable, but someone else should make the actual plan, though.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion of captaining, of which I am very experienced, Louis.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
There's a great bit of grammar here where it says, have the Marines come up tactics and have the loading personnel clear cargo bay. I just love the fact that it's a grammar error in his quote, so I just imagine Jack saying to Hollister that, have the Marines come up tactics. And Hollister's like, okay.
Has he just had a stroke?
So yeah, just to be clear, their plan is to just basically go down to ships and steal food.
Yeah. Pretty much just get their Marines to do commando raids for Quan Pi.
He's literally, like, obsessed with Quan Pi, clearly. He's actually doing raids.
Just like, we lost 10 people in the raid. But how many hundred weight of Quan Pi did we get?
Sometimes you just gotta make those sacrifices.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's so weird. Like, one, yeah, as you say, surely he can fucking threaten anyone in the universe with the fucking tranquility.
Yeah.
Pretty much just be like, hand us over some food, you sons of bitches. Or if not, is someone in the middle of, again, buttfuck nowhere in the universe going to recognize the tranquility on sight? Can't they bullshit their way through to be like, yes, yes, hail the Imperator.
Mm-hmm.
We are new ship. We are the tranquility. Yes, yes. Give us food. Like, it's like, not even, it's just like, no, immediate commando raids for food. Okay, Jack. You know
always,
best.
Yeah. Yeah, there's another great bit of, like, bad grammar here where it says, the deck beneath his feet backs... Wait, I can't even read it. The deck beneath his feet back to slowly stop rumbling.
And calm down.
To a slow vibration. A slow vibration.
Yeah.
As the ship came to a relative stop. What does that actually mean?
I mean...
Like, relative to what?
Exactly. Because I would... I mean, obviously, with the caveat that ever comes, this is all sci-fi bullshit, so it can do whatever the hell it likes, fundamentally. But I would have thought a wormhole would have been a fixed point in space. Mm. Like... So, surely, stopping is just going to stop. I would have thought that a relative stop would have been like, you know, say you're like speeding up to another ship that's moving, then you'd like come to a relative stop next to it, so you like slow down, so you're moving at the same speed relative to it, but it's like you've stopped next to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm overthinking this, and he just meant it's a relative stop. They're still moving a little bit, but they were basically stopped, and that was all he meant here. I don't know. No one knows. He didn't know when he wrote this. It just sounded good, he thought.
Apparently the sensors take about 2 weeks. That's how long they spent on the first wormhole to decide whether it's fit for them to go through. And obviously it wasn't, so they're now at the second wormhole. And it says that, It says, Tranquility had spent 2 weeks at the first wormhole fixing up the remaining repairs. And this is them pulling alongside the second wormhole on their trip.
Ah, right, yeah, sorry. I'm stupid, didn't read that. The second wormhole bit.
Apparently the 2 weeks is twice as long as usual because Toner is not there. And most of the senior scientists on the ship barely understood the notes Toner left.
Have we ever mentioned how smart and great Toner is?
No, I think we have.
Despite how incompetent she's been throughout the book.
That's why she was made like head scientist.
Yeah, like immediately.
Those are the senior scientists.
Look at that. Senior in quotes.
Yeah, like trash talk.
Jack's just sitting there like, these senior scientists, they can't do shit. And none of them are red-headed fuck buddies either.
Yeah.
This ship sucks now. But yeah, like, again, I know I mentioned it earlier, but here they're like, the people on this ship were former everything. Their only jobs were supposed to be based around working on a transport vessel. That's just like such a weird concept to me that, like, apparently in this universe, everyone quits their actual profession eventually to join a transport vessel. What the fuck's that? Is that a thing?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's...
It's like, I mean, like, Jack as a wee lad decided he wanted to join the trade fleet and spent his whole life doing it. Why does working on a trading vessel seem to be like, I don't even know, like, semi-retirement or just, like, replacement career when you fuck up in your old one? Like, what? Why are people doing this?
I guess it's maybe more laid back. You know, it's not, like, combat-y.
That's the thing, like, I can actually see the Marines being like, oh, we're now working security on a transport vessel.
Surely it would be, like, someone who used to be in, like, the Navy or something. You know, maybe doing combat or something. And then in their later years, they're working on, like, a more chill ship.
Yeah, it's like, some of the roles I can see it for, but... Why scientists, though? Why is there a scientist that's just like, I'm sick of this science stuff. I want to be a trader.
Yeah.
What? Where the hell did that come from? Why were they even on the fucking ship?
So, yeah, they launch a probe to this second wormhole. Yeah, and there's a bit here after they launch the probe where it says... Jack wished Toner was here for more than one reason. Like,
missing his red-headed fuck buddy.
Yeah. Hollister can only give you so much.
I know. Like, he tries, but the stress is making him go grey, Louis.
Yeah. He tries with the wig, but it's not the same.
Yeah. His grey-headed fuck buddy just isn't the same. He fills a different hole, but it's not the same.
Jack certainly does fill a different hole when turned this away.
Ba, 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 ba. But yeah, and then we have the humorous exchange of the chapter.
Yes.
Jack's going for lunch, and he asks Hollister if he wants anything. Hollister, he shakes his head, raises his hand in declination. Declination. Is that a word?
I don't know. But it really tripped me up. Is it a word? I can look it up.
But Hollister, the stickler that he is, says, no thank you. Regulation state consumption of food products on the bridge is forbidden. And this is where we get a smirk.
Creeping across his lips.
Lip. Oh no, lips. This one is lips. This is double lips. Single lip later.
So I just looked up declination. It is a word, but yeah. Not that. It's so descriptions. There's three descriptions. First one is the angular distance of a point north or south of the celestial equator.
Right.
I don't think it means that.
Probably not.
Second one, another term for downdrift.
Okay.
And the third, and it's got a US tag, formal refusal.
Okay.
The example for that definition is the mandatory vaccine declination form.
Fucking space Americans. They're ruining space for everyone.
Make space great again.
Massa. Wait, is that racist?
Massa. So.
Miska.
Yeah. This leads into Hollister's explanation. No, sorry. Yes, Jack goes on and says, we are in an ultimate dimension on a battleship that is wanted to transport. We were attacked by not one, but three forces. And you're worried about regulations on eating on the bridge?
Jack stares at Hollister as some of the bridge crew try to suppress small chuckles.
Ah, yeah. You know what that means.
You know what time it is. Ah, get hype, get hype. Chuckle Vision 2018. So, for Chapter 26, Chuckle Vision, we have got three smirks, of which we've seen one. And two chuckles, of which we've also experienced the first. This has been Chuckle Vision for Chapter 26 of The Way the Stars Fall Rebirth. Thanks for listening to Chuckle Vision. Back to you, Louis.
Okay, that was slightly creepy, but I'm actually genuinely looking forward to finding out the total number of chuckles.
Don't worry, I'll let you know in the post-mortem episode we do for Chapter 30.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I've got it ready.
Also, brief side note, recently learnt that Chuckle Vision ended in 2009.
I know. Yeah. You've been living in sin ever since.
Yeah. But that's later than I thought. But actually, when I think about it, it's kind of depressing to think that 2009 is almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, yeah, that's quite a long time ago now. We old, Louis.
And, yeah. We sure are. Anyway, I wonder how old the Chuckle Brothers were when they started. And where did they start? Like, before Chuckle Vision, what were they?
What were they doing?
Like, were they just... I'm going to look that up.
Not right now. Let's finish this fucking episode.
Yes, right now. Wow. Paul is fat.
Rude. He tries his best.
Apparently they won a television talent show Opportunity Knocks in 1967.
Fucking hell.
So we've got to do a podcast on the lore of the Chuckle Brothers.
History of the Chuckle Brothers.
A too in-depth look into the Chuckle Brothers' life. Last episode is an interview with them both.
That'd be amazing. Because we're never going to get Lewis to do an interview for this now, fortunately. Yeah.
Or the guy who wrote Eye of Argon.
Jim Tayers is dead.
I mean, we're most likely to get an interview from a dead corpse, to be honest.
More likely than getting Lewis on at this point.
And I don't know if I want to meet the person who wrote Sonic High School.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we know the exact person. Like, I think... Is it? Like, we can't find... I find out from the... What you call it? From the fanfiction.net that we looked at. So... That is our best chance, but again, I don't think we want to. No one needs to know what's happening in that twisted mind. Oh man, Sonic High School was a trip. A really long trip with a very creepy uncle.
Yeah, so back to Hollister and his famous non-humour.
Yeah, what's he like?
He loves those rules.
He does.
I just love the fact that Jack has been like eating quam pie, like getting crumbs in like the controls and stuff.
And Atlee, he's just there on the bridge, is like just talking through his mouthfuls of pie. It's like fire, blah, more pie.
Yeah, no, it's on the chair.
Oh no!
Get a cloth.
Quam stains leather.
I like the fact that it says that the bridge crew are trying to suppress small chuckles, but Jack bursts into a small chuckle.
Yeah.
Bursting into a small chuckle.
Just laughing at you. Oh, Hollister. Yeah, that's great, you know, just send the impression in front of all of your men that it's fine to laugh at your second in command for following rules.
Yeah, and
that's
then
a
when
fantastic
he,
message.
Yeah. It says he enjoyed eating with his crew. In the mess hall. It made them more comfortable with the decisions he made. I don't think it does. Like, because you ate lunch with them doesn't mean you can make the horrific decisions you've made. Like, when he was like, I'm going back for toner, they were like, okay. That's because
you had lunch with us, so that's fine.
We've seen how you eat. We know what's wrong with you.
Just slamming his face into quam pies,
yeah.
Luxuriating in them. Yeah, like, so he was going to go and get Hollister some food, and then he talks about going to eat down in the canteen. So,
yeah. So what's the whole like deal? He's not even going to eat in the bridge.
Yeah,
what's the point in that exchange?
I don't know. I just realised how that kind of makes this whole thing pointless. Like, he wasn't even going to take the food with him back up to the bridge. He was just going to eat down there. Why?
Jack works in mysterious ways.
He fucking does.
I like how there's talk of, you know, everyone having to work 24/7 since whatever. But then Jack just goes off for a rest for 20 yarns whilst
yeah,
they're waiting
just goes
for
off for a little kip.
Yeah.
Like, ah, the ship's going to be fine without me. I'm going to bed.
I mean, he's not wrong.
I mean, yeah, it can only improve productivity, but...
I like this bit here where... So he's gone back to his room to rest, and then it's... He's apparently talking to a scientist on a screen or something. I don't know.
Mm.
And it says, can you estimate how long it will take? Jack asked, just as the scientist on the screen turned to his side as a smirk appeared on his lip. Is that like an Alfred Hitchcock, like... silhouette. Why is he turning to his side? I don't get it. That smirk appearing on his lip.
Single lip now.
One lip.
To the standard.
Can you imagine one lip smirking?
Sounds terrific.
Yeah. It'd be like... have you seen that video of Mark Zuckerberg in Trial?
Yes.
He does some weird smiles. I imagine that's what it's like.
Well, life's hard when you're a Generation 2 synth. That was great the time he said I used to be human and corrected himself.
Yeah. I wonder if he's like playing along to the meme.
I hope so. That probably would be the smarter thing to do. It's harder to hate someone when they're acting so kooky.
There was a funny comment on that video where he's in where was he? Like this
Is it the Supreme Court?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
It was like when you can't fast travel because there are enemies nearby.
That was funny. But a complete waste of everyone's time and kind of a joke. But it was funny.
Yeah. It was a bit of a circus. Like when he asked, like, what hotel were you staying at?
It's just the fact that none of them knew how Facebook fucking worked.
Yeah.
Like they kept saying they kept saying that he had to do things that Facebook already did. It's like, what's the point of this? Things have actually gone wrong, but you're asking him about things that he's already done. What the fuck is this? What's going on?
Peter and Louis do politics.
Oh, that podcast would be a fucking dumpster fire. You don't care and I have incredibly unpopular opinions.
Yeah, so that's when the scientist breaks the good news that this wormhole matches the one that brought them there by 20% variation. It's not exactly a match, but...
Yeah, you know. It's approximate match. It's a fuzzy match.
This makes Jack lean forward.
He leans towards the monitor to something, I don't know.
To intrigue.
To intrigue. But apparently the 20% variation doesn't matter, though I don't understand what this 20% variation even means.
Mm-hmm.
But nothing about the wormholes makes sense, so whatever. This is a similar wormhole, apparently similar enough to get them home. Somehow. It's fine. But apparently they can just transfer power, that means it doesn't matter that it's a different wormhole. Okay. Jack claps.
Scientist grins.
Scientist grins. Jack claps. Navigation put on course.
Yeah. And so basically they just make their way towards that wormhole, and Jack says at the very end, "We are going home," Jack announces as he stood up and pointed at the wormhole. I like the fact that he's in his room, so is he just pointing, right, like, through a wall, like, to the direction of the wormhole? And also, if the camera is, like, pointed at where he was sitting, I just like the idea that the scientist suddenly just gets a view of Jack's crotch, just like, we're going home. Scientist's like, hello?
Captain? You've changed.
Why are you just standing there?
Wait, so... I mean, I think, like, the way that he says that it's phrased there makes it sound like he is back on the bridge, like, Jack smirked as the bridge began to cry out in huge cries of joy. I mean, but maybe the scientist is on the bridge? And so Jack can hear them cheering?
Well, I mean, definitely the last place we were left with Jack was he was going back to his... quarters, so he might have moved, but...
It does say it would be 20 arms before he would head back to the bridge to watch the probe enter the wormhole. But, I mean, have we seen the probe?
Wait, wasn't the probe the thing doing the scanning?
Yeah. So, yeah, what the fuck's going on? So he asks the scientist how long it will take to probe the wormhole, right? And then the scientist says, "We've done it, we've probed it." I thought they said that it was going to take like a week earlier.
"We've done it, you've been asleep for a week."
What the fuck is this timeline? It's just the timeline of events in like the single section of the chapter is all over the fucking place. But he might be on the bridge, basically.
Yeah.
He might be on the bridge. But I still just love the idea of... I mean, imagine, he's been talking to this scientist out loud, if he is on the bridge, going, you know, so we're going towards the wormhole. They are literally flying towards this wormhole. Then Jack just stands up and points at the wormhole. "This is where we're going." What the fuck? Just such a hilarious image of Jack just standing up and pointing at this thing that they're obviously going towards. Mm-hmm. "There we are! There we're going!" But what unofficial channels? How can it be spreading? He's in the bridge. How is it getting out of the bridge and without?
No wonder they have such a problem with spies. There's like they can't contain information in the like most secure room should be the bridge.
I know, like it'd be different, like if he was like on loudspeaker across the ship, just like we're going home, you know.
Yeah,
we're heading back. But in that case, that's the most official channel you can get. That's just the captain telling you.
Yeah, literally in person.
Yeah, so I have no idea what the fuck's going on there, but regardless, that's the end of the chapter. I'm assuming that Jack's going to spend the next week or so until we record again just standing there and pointing at the wormhole, going, yes, forward. This wasn't a good chapter.
Nope.
Even by regular standards, this was poorly written, overlong. Despite being short, it was overlong for the content that we got.
Yeah. Just trawling through those, like, explanations of ammo and percentage, it just feels long.
Yeah, it was...
Yeah, four chapters left.
Yeah, we are rapidly approaching the end, and just think of it, Louis. What's going to happen next? That should be the wormhole home. What's going to happen to stretch it out for another four chapters? Can you imagine, Louis? you imagine?
I suppose we've not seen the last of the Rikari.
And what about old Tiberius,
yeah,
Mucker?
Exactly. We've got to have some loose ends.
He's got some
here.
Business going on, no doubt, sir.
He probably does, sir.
Indeed, sir. But, yeah. So, you excited, Louis? We might... It's like, in this set... It's like, I kind of get what we're doing. Like, I don't think it's going to be too much of a spoiler to say that there's going to be a little bit more action before the book ends. It's not mm-hmm. just going to be another four chapters of them seeing how much food they have left. So I can kind of appreciate these chapters in the last three chapters in the sense that they're kind of a calm and recovery between the whole Rikari clusterfuck incident that they just had.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have to be this boring. This little didn't have to have happened. Like man, you could have combined all of the. For one thing, we didn't have to know what the Rikari were doing, in my opinion. When they turn up later, again, spoilers technically, but I don't think really a spoiler. I don't think we needed to know what their plans were before they happened, basically. What Tiberius, I'm good with. That was I was happy with that. That was actually, as we agreed, decent chapter. For this book, at least. That was fine. This chapter didn't really need it. To be honest... I would, if I was going to do this, I would have started the chapter, like, approximately here, and then ran over these trials and tribulations in, like, a couple of paragraphs, explaining what got them from here to the wormhole, basically, as opposed to the excruciating detail and lack of action that we got in this chapter. Yeah. Okay. I think I'm done with this chapter. Are you done with this chapter?
I'm done with this chapter.
I'm done with this fucking book, but we're not. But we've still got 4 weeks left. So, anyway, we've been Two Absolute Bookends. Follow us on our social medias for all the spiciest Globgo Gab Galab memes. That's not true. But we do like the Globgo Gab Galab. And we'll see you next time, for episode 39. What? What? Piece of shit. I'll kill you.
What? Aggressive
what
end?
What are you laughing at?
See ya.
See ya.